WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latte from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Thanks a lot for listening today. We're going to talk about lawyers and law school, because at this time of year, prospective law students should be getting acceptance or rejection notifications from your chosen schools. But what we keep hearing, though, is about the market. You know, some unemployed lawyers are even resorting to using their law degrees to sue their alma maters for fraud. There is such a glut of lawyers right now. You may remember a few months ago when a caller to our show asked U.S. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, when she was here as a guest, what advice she would give to young people thinking about entering the legal profession but might have second thoughts about going into massive debt without the promise of a good job. And she said this:
if you have a passion similar to mine, then make the sacrifices to do something that's to enter a profession that's very, very worthwhile.
But is it too idealistic for the average indebted aspiring lawyer? Joining me now to talk about the evolution of the law profession in crisis is Stephen Harper, adjunct professor at Northwestern University's Law School and author now of The Lawyer Bubble, A Profession in Crisis. Professor Harper, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me on.
So I guess the law is an economy like anything else. There's big student demand and there's lots of law school supply. Which part of the equation is the problem?
Both parts. The first part, which is student demand, is a function, I think, of a lot of different things that operate on just about everybody. One of them is the media images. There are people that have preconceived notions of what they think being a lawyer is going to be. Who wouldn't want to be Alicia Florrick wrapping up an episode by cross-examining a key witness at trial and winning the case?
Mm-hmm.
And then couple that with confirmation bias, which is what psychologists refer to as the phenomenon that we all have and live with, I should say, which is embracing data and images that are consistent with what we want to believe and jettisoning that which doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So the first problem is, it seems appealing. You have assumptions going in that make the law a noble profession, which I have to say it is. I mean, I am not against lawyers. I'm not against law schools. I was a successful and enjoyed my practice for 30 years, but the system is really been broken for a long time. On the supply side, the problem has been, I believe, a combination of U.S. news rankings, which have fed a kind of arms race using very perverse methodologies that have encouraged perverse behavior by law school deans that have also resulted in huge tuition increases, as well as the fact that in many of these universities for years, administrators figured out that law schools could become profit centers. I was interested to hear Justice Sotomayor's quote, and I agree with her. If you have a passion for it and you know what you're getting into, do it. But the truth of the matter is that between the time that Justice Sotomayor graduated from law school and now, tuition has somewhere between doubled and tripled. Used to be it was cheaper to go to medical school, at least in terms of tuition, than law school.
So
that's
is the problem more that law school graduates are in so much debt, or is it also that there are just too many students coming out of law school? Because I think when undergrads apply to law school, they feel, oh, this is so exclusive. I have to have among the best grades even to get in. And are there, actually fewer law jobs relatively than there were 5 or 10 years ago in our litigious society?
Yes, the answer is yes. The most recent, ironically enough, a couple of hours ago, well, we got the latest jobs report. Well, we are turning out in law schools every year twice as many lawyers as there are legal jobs for them, as that is jobs requiring a legal degree. That's not a situation that's going to change. Last week we found out, for example, that we graduated last June of 2012 a record number of law school graduates, more than 46,000, more than ever. And the jobs, the full-time, long-term jobs that require a law degree for those students, 56% of them. And then the other half of the problem, too, is, you know, they're going into places where it's the used to be everybody wanted to get a job in a big firm, and the second half of my book, actually, is another half of the equation, which is the prevailing business model in most big law firms has become increasingly hostile, frankly, I think in some ways very precarious in terms of where these students are going to go. So that segment, that very important segment of the market, which is only 10 to 15% of all lawyers, has been shrinking. That segment is not back to where it was back in 2007 before the recession.
So listeners, we just have a few minutes for calls for Stephen Harper, author of The Lawyer Bubble. But if anybody is living through the bursting of this bubble right now and wants to share your story, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Or maybe you're a junior or senior considering law school or deciding whether to actually act on that acceptance letter you just got, 212-433-9692. Part three of your book is titled Deflating the Bubble, a kind of self-help section for those running the game. And one suggestion you explore is getting rid of the third year of law school. Why that?
I think if you talk to just about any lawyer that's been through law school, which is to say all of them, the vast majority will say that it was a waste of time. And in today's world, it's also an extraordinary expense. The truth of the matter is the first year of law school is really important, and I think that fundamentally it hasn't changed, probably for good reason. There are certain things about what they call thinking like a lawyer that really does happen in your first year of law school. And the second year, likewise, is a substantive time when you learn things that you would never learn in any other place. The problem and the reason the third year will never go away is because it's lucrative for law schools, and frankly, as long as the embedded interests that control the current structure, which is to say the bar associations and lawyers, are in a position to require, as they now do, that you have to have the equivalent of 3 years of academic study in order to be licensed to the bar in the vast, vast majority of states. There are a handful of exceptions. It's going to be really difficult to get rid of that third year. So I don't have any optimism that that'll happen. But it does seem that law schools at least are beginning to become a little more aware of the third year problems and creating more what they call experiential learning. So you're actually working in clinics and clients and all that sort of stuff. That's noble, too. But it's not going to create any more legal jobs. The excess that I described a minute ago of 2-to-1 is projected to continue throughout the end of the decade.
Let's take some calls as our board entirely filled up immediately.
Usually does.
when we threw out this question. Mo in Trenton, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mo.
Hey.
Oh, we have a terrible line. Can you pick up a handset or something? Oh, too bad. We're going to try to get back to you, Mo, but we're going to go next to Peter on Staten Island. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your story?
Yeah, so I graduated law school in 2007, and I really haven't used my legal degree, but it's been able to open some doors in nonprofit management. I think if people going to law school are going just to make money, that's the wrong way to go. If you have a altruistic motive, I think it serves you well.
What did you do instead of become a lawyer?
So I manage a group home. I work for a nonprofit organization managing an individual residential alternative.
Good for you. And did it come about because you couldn't find a law job?
More or less. Before I went to law school, I worked for the same agency. So after law school, I kind of putted around for a year or two, and then I found this spot. So.
Well, good luck. Peter, thank you. Tell us briefly, Professor Harper, why you go so far as to say, I guess you're quoting two Emory University law school professors who say if a federal investigation were to take place, it might lead to putting many law school deans in jail.
Yeah, that's sort of a silly proposition, but that's a reflection of some of the academic scholarship that happens. So there's also, it was quickly rebutted by another professor who said that there wasn't a basis for it. But the underlying sentiment reflected in the article is the notion that law schools, which have been pandering to U.S. News rankings since the early 90s, the first U.S. News rankings for law schools came out in 1987. People think they've been here forever. But somehow people found law school students and law schools found each other long before there were U.S. News rankings. But what those Emory professors are responding to is the enormity of the flaws in the U.S. News rankings and the way deans have pandered to them in ways that have caused deans themselves to behave in conduct that, have, as you mentioned when you opened the show, have called some graduates, caused some graduates who haven't been able to get jobs to sue their schools for fraud and deception in recruiting them in the first place.
Gennaro and Butler, you're on WNYC. Hello, Gennaro.
Hello. I just want to say I am a Georgetown Law graduate from 2012.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
And I think noticed that. Well, sorry, what was that?
I said congratulations, I think.
Oh. Thank you very much.
I agree.
Well, no, the debt is not the best. However, right now I'm in school full-time getting a bachelor's degree in biotechnology.
Whoa. After law school, you went back
after law school,
to undergrad. Did you say a bachelor's degree? Yes. So you went back to undergrad
degree.
To study something else that's in technology.
Yes, because otherwise you cannot get a job. There's no such thing as the general sort of small-town lawyer anymore.
Yeah.
What we do have are specializations, and so I have to become an IP attorney. I need to learn about patents and technology and be versed in that just to even appeal to a firm.
So is that what you're going to do with your plan to do with your second bachelor's degree, use the specific technical knowledge that you'll get there to become a specialized lawyer?
Absolutely, because I feel that a lot of technology has actually destroyed the entry-level jobs in a law firm. You don't need to go call the 25-year-old kid to go look up a few cases for you.
Got it. And, Gennaro, I'm going to leave it there, but that is a great story. Suzanne and Caldwell, we've got about 20 seconds for you. Hi.
Hi. I had to start my own practice because I couldn't find a job for 2 years out of law school. I graduated in 2007, and I primarily do immigration law, and I wish to God that I had learned another language rather than spend and waste all that money in law school, because I would rather be working for a nonprofit, doing some sort of legal work, rather than the stress of trying to keep people from being deported.
Wow.
You know, Brian, there's an important point, if I could just add this to what the caller's been saying. The 85% of law school graduates come out of law school with debt that exceeds $100,000.
Yeah.
And there are different kinds of loan repayment programs and all that sort of stuff that are of some assistance. But at the end of the day, they can't discharge this stuff in bankruptcy.
So we just have 30 seconds left. But the New York Times reported in January that law school applications hit a 30-year low. So is the law bubble bursting on its own? The market's correcting because people are getting the word?
No, if they're getting the word, but it's not correcting, because we're still – next year is projected to be another record number of law graduates. There's still more demand than there are seats in law schools to fill them, and every year another law school comes online. There are half a dozen new law schools waiting to come online. So if we're approaching an equilibrium, we're going to hit it in 30 or 40 years.
Stephen Harper from
help.
The Northwestern University Law School has written The Lawyer Bubble, A Profession in Crisis. Thank you very much for discussing it with us.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.